life, it just kind of, if you can relate it to your own life and how you can connect, and I know that we have some of the same feelings that the people then, because we're human, and what their life may have been like is not so far from who we are. And although I think challenging, but I'm not so sure sometimes, because they had pretty good weather compared to Alaska, when you think about it, and they could grow food and gardens twice a year, seasonal, and so they, from what we know and what we hear, is that it was a pretty good everyday life at the Ross Colony. So, I don't know what to do about the artifacts, if I should show that out right now. Actually, what I'll do is, on the way out to Vespers, I'll have the box and you can look in. Does that sound right?
Mother Melania, yeah,
what's
yeah.
the time like? Is
that, yeah, is that, I told you we're always late. So actually, one of the, we've moved our normal Vespers to 6 o'clock, and one of the sisters said, it's going to be hot. And I said, oh, don't worry, we always go late. So,
okay. All right, good.
So we need to.
So are there any questions that you might have about the people? Or
I have a question about the museum in Russia. When was it established? Before communist times?
Actually, Peter the Great established it. It was the earliest museum in Russia. Okay. It's the first museum in Russia. It's pretty weird, some of the stuff that's in there. And in fact, the ministry, Alexei Korjohov, laughed at me when I said we're going there. And I go, no, you don't understand. It's also a collection of the native people. And then he got it. He's the one who had tears. And because he got it, because he was so against supporting the trip at first. And then he got it. But that museum has, again, the largest collection of Kashaya regalia.
But it survived the communist period.
Yes, it did. It is. You're right. It is.
It didn't destroy it.
Yeah, I think they emptied it and hid everything that they could.
What do you mean?
Well, during the different wars, but also just packed everything away, and I think that's why some of it's still packed. Most of it's packed.
It's not
religious. Well, and maybe too, it was for that period of time. It was maybe outdated, outmoded, and they wanted to put something else in.
Yeah.
So they packed that all away, and that's what saved it. It's packed away.
Right now, we support the Kunstkamera with donations because of their. We help them with their lighting and different techniques of making sure these items are preserved. And they don't need that anymore as much as they did 20 years ago, but we have continued to help. Any other questions on that? Yeah.
This was alcohol problem in the Shire?
Not so, that we have a big record of. And it wasn't really even for the laborers at Fort Ross, and it wasn't a part of their ration, and that makes a big difference. So the contract has a ration list, and alcohol's not on it. It's only for special moments, and I don't know who handed or decided a special moment, but maybe for some. I mean, there's always some somewhere. We don't hear that very often.
Thank you for all that you did in supporting and making a reality the bicentennial. It was just a
thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's very kind.
So the amount of years the Russians had this colony or fort were only about what? 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been there 24, so I'm hitting my 30-year mark. That's what I told my supervisor. I'm like, wait a minute.
So the years were from 1812
to 1841.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that before or after the war of 1812?
Right during, in the middle of. And I think that's why it didn't get attention, because it's just really distracting. This company was really distracting to the government at that time. Like, you want what? That's the problem. Population of about 200,
maybe a little less.
At the port.
At San Francisco. And then in 1812, they came with 180, and then by 1820, they had 260, which was more than or equaled, because that population didn't grow as fast, because there was no movement. No one was coming in. It was a very stagnant time for the Presidio in that era. San Francisco took off really in the gold rush, more than any other time.
Did the Russians educate the native population? Did they learn to read and write?
The church did. And what is amazing about that, and it really touches me a lot, is that they did it in the language of the native person. They didn't say, well, no, you need to speak Russian. And that's what the priest did, and especially Ion Vitaminov at that time, now St. Inokente, he put like over 18 languages of native people in the Vesper, in, you know, translated, created an alphabet for them, listened to their language. I mean, I can't even speak English half the time, so I just think it's amazing. So no, they did educate, but not, and then formal education came a little later, and never at Fort Ross. Fort Ross never had a school or formal education. And the reason for the church saying, hey, you know, about these partnerships and relationships with women, there's a lot of children being born with no one to care for them, and that's a problem. And the church had created some homes for those children.
You might have said this previously, but since they were there with the Russians, married to the Russians, being educated by the priests, but they didn't become Orthodox.
But they didn't what?
Become Orthodox.
Not always. They didn't.
Sometimes they did. But today,
they did. Some of them did. And then the reason we know that in the cemetery, the people that are buried there, it's a very diverse group of people in the cemetery, and some of them are the native people, and they do have a cross, and they were in the cemetery. Some people don't have a cross, and they're out to the outside of the cemetery, not buried in the main part.
But the people today, the native people, aren't Orthodox.
Not. They're religious. What happened is that after that era, and then in the ranch era, and then a little later, it is Mormon. And many of them are, but most of them are not that either. They are finding their own spirituality once again, very strong. And actually, Martina is very religious. And that conversation she had with His Eminence, Archbishop Kirill, the other night, we were at the embassy for the Russian National Day. And was introducing them to each other, the Kashaya and the church leaders, priests, immigrants. I'm saying it right.
Archbishop.
And he said, we should break bread together. And she wasn't quite sure what that meant, like, because that can mean communion, or she's like, and she said, well, and everyone was quiet. Like stunned, like you don't say well to the immigrant. And she's like, what? And she didn't, she afterwards, I said, Martina. And but she said, and but anyway, Archbishop Kirill, he corrected. He says, no, I mean afterwards we're going to share a meal together. And so it was very sweet, because, and she says, yes. I mean, she really wants to have that relationship with the church. Any other questions or comments? This is here. Why don't you pass this around? Thank you, everybody, for having me again. I love being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to open this up, and I'm using kid gloves with these artifacts, of course.
Push it again. Perfect.
So, are most of this Did you get most of these artifacts through archaeological digs? Or
yeah. How? So all of these artifacts came from three different neighborhoods. From the Alaskan neighborhood that I spoke to you about, and that was actually the most populated area at the Rust Colony. And one thing that changed as, well, state parks, we're actually, I don't know if you know, larger than national parks as a unit. We have as many units, and we don't have the acreage, but we don't have the funding either. But we have a lot of parks and a big history here in California. And we have what's called the black hole, where all the artifacts will go from years and years of collecting. And one thing that our archaeologist said, Dr. Kent Lightfoot, he's from Berkeley, he says, if I'm participating anymore, those artifacts are staying here. They're not going to be hidden away in a place. And so they are at Fort Ross. And that, Dr. Lynn Goldstein felt the same way. She oversaw the cemetery work. So we have cases at Fort Ross that are not museum quality, but we were allowed to keep a lot of the artifacts, and they're not all. This, and what I picked out for the Cal Expo exhibit is very small. The Alaskan neighborhood, and then the Russian neighborhood, the artisan neighborhood, the beach, and then the fort compound. And so that's what you'll see here.
So, what should I do? Stand at the door?
However you want to do it.
Okay, because I don't want to pass it around. And you, I have to tell you, you can't touch them. I can't even breathe on them, right? Basically, if you want to come and just take a look and peek in the box on the way out to Vespers.
Okay, that sounds good.
Does that sound okay?
Now, are those...
Sorry, I went over you guys.